Well, good morning. Glad to see everybody. Glad that you're here. It'd be bad if I came and you weren't here, especially since you live here. He's right. We started in our home, and then we went to a kind of a wore-out bar and grill thing, and we cleaned up, made it a passable church. It was exciting on Sunday mornings because this was a landmark bar and grill and restaurant and everything, and people would swing in there on Sunday mornings thinking, oh, it's open again. And they'd come in, and we're having church, and they'd come in, and they'd look like they're on their way to Kings Island or something, and they'd just stare at me, and I'd just smile at them and just wait to see what's happening. If I had a camera going, we'd have made the America's Funniest Videos for sure. But anyhow, God's been good to us, and it wasn't me that said we need a bigger place when we had 60 people meeting in our house. It was my sweetheart, my love, my dove, my jewel, my precious Proverbs 21 lady, Kathy. She said, get a building. And so we did. And God blessed. And he's been great to us. I cannot complain. Why don't you take your Bibles and open up to somewhere in there. There's some good stuff in this someplace. I tell you what, you just open up wherever you want to, and you'll find something good. But if you want to be the same place as I'm going to be, you need to find Judges, the book of Judges. And are you guys kind of quiet and subdued? Is that kind of the way this is here? Clayton, I need you to work on that a little bit, get them wound up a little bit. And I see when I look at these kids? I see potential. It just excites me to no end. All these, you got the most beautiful girls and the homeless boys, but there's potential here for these young people. Great things that can be done here through these young people's lives. It just thrills my soul to see this. I'm so glad to be here. I really am. And I got my son Brian. He's sitting back there in the back too. He's glad to be here. He's glad just to be anywhere usually. We have a young lady here that goes to our church. Her name is Bella Boo. And we're glad. Oh, I shouldn't have. That's what I've called her since she was born, Bella Boo Snyder. And her sisters, Bella Boo and Chloe too. And so we're glad to. Your mom said to tell you hi. Your dad said to let you know that he loves you. And Clayton, you and Colton, your mom didn't say anything. So. You're on your own, boys. Well, I enjoy life. I really do. I enjoy having fun and having a good time. I love being around young people. There are so many good things that you can find with young people. It's a lot of fun just to be with them. And I like the sense of humor that kids have. And sometimes you guys get advanced past me and I don't understand your sense of humor, but that's okay. I can figure things out usually. And we'll get along fine. Now, I'm going to be in the book of Samson. Now, if you want to be there, or book of Samson, that's in the Murdoch version. Everybody's got their own version. I've got mine now. But we're going to be in the book of Judges, and we're going to talk about Samson, one of the heroes of the faith, one of these great guys, these wonderful guys. Every little boy likes Samson. He is the closest thing to Superman that the world has ever really seen. And I just, man, I love reading about him. When I first got saved, I found this in the Bible, and I was so excited about him. I just absolutely appreciated him so very much. So let's take our Bible. We'll dive in here and see what we can find and see what we can do. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to be in chapter 13 if you want to be the same place I am. And that'll probably get us along pretty good here. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there came a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. An angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. This is an amazing thing here. Here's a lady who is unable to have children, and now God sends an angel to her and says, you will have a child, it's going to be a son, and he's going to begin to deliver Israel, but he's going to be a Nazarite. Well, a Nazarite is made, that's something the person would do. It's a vow that you take upon yourself. But God has called this man to the life of a Nazarite from the time before he was born. And we'll see some things about Samson here, but I want you to understand something. God saw you before you were born. And he spoke, maybe not to you and maybe not to your parents, but he spoke to those in glory land that I'm going to do something with this person, with this child. Do not think for a moment that you are not called of God. The Bible says about all children that they are born unto God. That ought to put an end to this thing. Well, we can have human sacrifice all day long. It doesn't hurt. They call it abortion, but it's really just human sacrifice. No, God has his hand upon you. You may feel insignificant. You may feel like that God doesn't talk to you, doesn't speak to you. And you say, well, preacher, I ran a Bible college and a Christian school. Yeah, I know all about it. Been there, done that, and I know about how we get to feeling because the devil comes up and bothers us. But I want you to remember something. If you don't get anything out of this except this one thing, remember this. God knows you, and he knows where you are. He knows what you're doing, and he loves you, and he's got great, great plans for you. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, thank you for today, and thank you for the great honor and privilege it is to be in this place. Lord God, the singing of the high school group, man, that was tremendous. That was wonderful. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the singing the kids have done and just being in this place. It's such a nice and clean place. It has such a sweet spirit about it. And I pray, God, that you'd please bless us this morning. I pray that you'd help me to preach what you want preached. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. And Lord God, that you would use it to draw your servants, your children, closer to you and a closer, real relationship to you. And I pray that you'd bless them in a mighty way now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I wish I had more time because I'm not really comfortable yet. I want to get comfortable. I just want to have a good time. You said this is the first time I've ever preached here. I hated hearing that because usually my first time to preach at a college or a Christian school is usually the last time. There's a Christian school in Lafayette. It's a Reformed Christian school, and they called me. They wanted me to come and preach to their younger class. They weren't sure they wanted me to get around their older kids, and so I came in there, and it was as liberal a thing as you'd ever run into, and I just go in there, and I'm going to have fun because my favorite job in the whole world was when I was a youth pastor, and I was in charge of junior church, and we had a lot of fun in junior church. I came in there. These kids didn't know anything. They were listening to some kind of hip-hop Christian trash music. And so she said, you have just a certain amount of time to preach to them. And I couldn't get those kids under control hardly at all until I finally said, okay, we're going to have some fun here, kids. And I'm going to teach you some junior church songs, and I'm going to teach you some fun things, and we're going to have fun. And I held up my Bible, and I said, what is this book? And they, kind of like you're doing right now. And I said, it's the Bible. I'm going to ask you again, and then I want you to shout out the Bible, okay? And they said, all right, yay, raw. And I said, what is this book? And they said, the Bible. They weren't educated like you. And I said, what is the Bible? And they just did this. And I said, it's God's Word. This book is true. And I taught them a little fun thing to say. We'd do this in junior church still. Do they still do this now in junior church? What is the Bible? And the Bible is that book? You're looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Obviously, I'm going to have some talks with the junior church crowd. Anyhow, I got them charged up. Boy, they're excited, and they're marching around, and we're marching to Zion, and we're doing this, and we're Father Abrahaming and everything. And then my time's up. But I got those kids, I mean, they're running 900%, and they're ready to go to kindergarten and first grade and through sixth grade, and they're excited about this. And I said, okay, I'm done. I'm out of here. And I never did get called to go back there. And that broke my heart. So anyhow, I'm glad to come here, and I'd come back again. Just to be around you guys is a blessing. It's a privilege. You guys are, some of you kind of look like you're still asleep and everything. But I think you're probably a lot of fun when it gets you broke loose. But anyhow, let's see if we can do something here. I've got just a few minutes left. Samson was called. Josiah, John the Baptist, and Samson had their ministry spoken of prior to their birth. That's a pretty exciting thing. With Samson, God gave special instruction on how he was to be raised. In verses 3-5, the angel appeared to the woman and said, now listen, you're going to have a child, and this little boy is going to be special. He's going to be called unto God. He's going to be a Nazarite. Now then, for you, I don't want you to drink anything of the vine. I don't want you getting grape juice, wine, whiskey, none of that stuff. You stay away from that stuff. You watch what you eat, and then make sure that no razor comes upon this kid's head. Not that he doesn't get a haircut, but the razor doesn't shave his head. He's going to be a Nazarite unto God. He is called of God to be a Nazarite. Well, that's pretty exciting stuff. God was calling this child before he's ever born. You're here today because you followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe not all of you. Some of you, how many of you kids, your mom and, no, you, I was going to ask you, mom and dad make you go here, but I don't want to know that. And some of you might have bitterness in your heart, and I hope not. But most of you are here because the Holy Spirit spoke into your heart, so this is where you need to be. And I'm happy about that. God's led you into a life of separation. Brother, do you allow Christian rock in here? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You guys must be a bunch of old legalists or something like that. I don't know. Praise God. This sounds like my crowd. But anyhow, God's called you to this place. It's a place of dedication. And in this place of getting your education while you're dedicated, it's a place of consecration where you come to the place in your life where you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to quit playing this game. I'm going to be all in. There's a line that we cross. We get saved. Man, that's a wonderful thing. That's a great thing. We're saved, and we get into the church. We get baptized. That's a great thing. And we start serving the Lord a little bit here and there, and we learn to tithe and stuff. But there's a day that comes. We cross that invisible line. At least we hope we cross that invisible line where we go from just being the nominal Christian to being all in. I said, I'm going to serve God. I am His, and I'll do what He wants me to do. And Samson was called to be that person. You and I, we're not in that dispensation back there. We're in this time frame here where we're in the land of grace and glory, and we are called of Almighty God into that same type of consecration where we're all in 100%. Samson was a Nazarite. He was to be a Nazarite unto God, not by vow that he made himself, but by the calling of God himself. And you are not a Nazarite. Ladies, you're not a Nazarite. Praise God, because I like your long hair. You look really nice. Guys, you're not Nazarites either, but you are called of God. You're more than a Nazarite. You're something else. We are to be extraordinarily pure and sold out for God. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing that ye have... listen to this. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Poor Samson, he's called of God to this thing of the Nazarite purity, but you, on the other hand, are the one who has to call yourself to the Christian purity. Ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. There's no room in this work of God for flirty, foul-mouthed, worldly-wise, immoral, second-rate Christians. If that's the way you want to be, you're better suited for politics and not for Christianity. Ooh, don't get me on politics. I shouldn't have said that word. Good night. How many of you voted this year? How many of you voted for one guy and went to somebody else? I think we all did. Yeah. What are we going to do about that? We're just going to pray and trust the Lord and ask Jesus to come get us. That's what we're going to do. But this thing of being worldly wise and foul-mouthed and immoral, that's not us. That's not the people in this room. That's not who we are. We are the blood-bought, born-again, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching children of the living God. There's something different about us. We smile at different things. We cheer for different things. We're excited about different things. We're excited when it comes to the Word of God. When God's man stands up and he preaches the Word of God, we want to listen on purpose. There's something really right with us that causes us to be that way. We have His blessing, His promises upon our life. By the power of God, we are followers of righteousness. By the power of God, we are a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. By the power of God, we're a holy people, zealous of good works. By the power of God, you're holy unto the Lord. Did you hear that? Holy. I've come across a definition of holiness that I really like. That's been something that's really been hard for me to come up with. I can really get a hold of. God is holy. The word means that He is other than what we are. He's other than what this world is. His holiness is, you know, how do you describe holiness? Well, it's righteousness, it's purity. But that doesn't get it from me. But when I heard this, He's other than we are. I thought, yeah, that's right. He's not like me. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. He was a preacher of righteousness. He's a holy man. He's a right man, and God allowed him to see him, and then he saw God for what he was. He says, oh, man, he's other than what I thought he was, and now I know I'm not right with God. I know that I'm not holy like he is. I need some help, and that's the way God is, and we're to be holy unto the Lord, and ye are come out from among them, and you are separate. I hope you're separate in your real life. in your life when you're away from here, when you're at home or when you're at your jobs. Fellas, when you're out there in the real world, ladies, when you're out there, you're going out soul winning, I hope you're the real thing, that you're separated out there, that you are the right kind of person. I heard about a couple guys from here, they were out soul winning the other day. Then went to this lady's house and knocked on the door, and she opened the door and they said, "Hi, we're from Fairhaven." She said, "Thank you very much." She's had enough of it. She don't want to talk to anybody. So she shuts the door rather hard, and it goes, instead of going slam, it goes thunk. And she thinks, "Oh, that smart like boy's put his foot in the door." And the door kind of bounced back open, and she grabbed it, slammed it again. And she said, "Ugh." She grabbed it and she pulled it back, and man, she's going to slam it. And he said, "Ma'am, your door shut a lot better if you move your cat first." You come out from among them and you're separate. You don't like cats. Amen. Hey, God's called us to be bus workers and soul winners and Sunday school teachers and missionaries and preachers and Christian school teachers and Bible teachers and Christian authors and servants of the living God. We're more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. That's who we are. Just as Samson was called to separation, so are you. Just as Samson was chosen tool in God's hand, so are you. Just as Samson was to be a deliverer, so are you. Who's going to get those people that you know out of their sin into the church? I mean, it's not going to be some angel coming down from the door, from heaven, knocking on the door, say, "Hey there, I'm sent from God. I'm an angel. I come here to rescue you from your sin." No, 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 no. It's going to be you. It's going to be me. That's our job. That's what we're called to. Just as Samson had a bright and glorious future ahead of him, so do you. Samson was strong. When the power of God came upon him, he could break all the bindings that held him. When the power of God came upon Samson, there was absolutely no stopping him. He was unstoppable. With the power of God and being unstoppable, he was able to defeat an entire regiment of the Philistine army with the jawbone of an ass. Clean the clock on everybody. With the power of God and being unstoppable, he could break down the gates of the city and tear the gate posts out. And you study this out, you Bible students. How many of you are Bible students? You got Bibles and you study the Bible. I want you to do this. I want you to figure out how far it was that Samson carried the gates. It'll surprise you. It was miles. Threw them on his shoulders and just trotted away with the gates of the city. Nobody wanted to bother him. I wonder why. Several years ago, Brother Roger Vogelin came to town, and he proved to be an unstoppable Christian. He had the power of God on his life. 1970, he came to Chesterton. I heard there were only about 14 people at the service. And somebody said, "You can't build a church in Chesterton. We don't want another one here. It's not worth doing. Just stay away." But Brother Vogelin, he's focused on soul winning. He won souls to Christ. He got people straightened out. He discipled them. And he was preparing the next generation. They said, "Well, maybe you can win souls, but you'll never build much of a church." Well, it looks like a pretty nice church to me. I drove around this thing. I thought, wow, this is some kind of nice church. And this is a great location. Man, this is something. People said, "Well, yeah, maybe you can build a church here, but you'll never be able to have a Christian school here." Oh, look at these kids. I mean, the grade school kids. You guys, you look pretty respectable. Amen. You guys, you look like the protectors. You look like the guys that can grow up and be big and strong and bad, and nobody's going to cross you, and nobody's going to come across and hurt any of these girls or anything. Really, that's what you're born for, to be a defender and protector, and you got that going on, looking good. But they said, "Well, maybe you can build a Christian school, but you sure can't build a Christian college. There's too many of those, and nobody wants to go to Bible college." Hey, look around. Something's happened. There's a byword in the Christian circles and fundamental Baptist church circles that Fairhaven Baptist College turns out preachers and missionaries, men and women of God, left and right. And the people that come out here, look, I've watched some of these kids that's come out of this school, and I am impressed to say the least. I didn't know anything about this school years ago when I went off to Bible college. I went to Brand X. You know what Brand X is? It's over there in Crown Point. You'll get it there in a little bit. That's the college I went to. This school, as far as I know, doesn't have a whole lot of, what do they call it, baggage? They don't have a whole lot of bad, you got bad things going here. You got wicked people in this place. Well, yeah, a couple of them anyhow. Where I went to school is like a soap opera. But by the power of God and being unstoppable, Fairhaven Baptist College was birthed, and God's been working in this place for years and years. By the power of God and being unstoppable, Fairhaven Baptist church continues to win folks to Christ and see people saved, and the church continues to grow and things keep going on by the power of God and being unstoppable, Fairhaven Baptist College. You're 44 years old today. Do you know that? Is that right? 44 years? Man, that's good. And in a time, look, I've seen, I knew about Brother Robertson down there at Tennessee Temple. Brother Robertson, man, he built a great school. He built a great church. He did great things. But he lived long enough to see everything that he built wither and die and go away. Brother Vogelin, he retired, 5 years ago? Yeah, 5 years ago. And this place is still going strong. There's something going on here. There's something good. Why? It's the power of God and being unstoppable. Now, you hear me. Listen, let me tell you something about what's going on in your world. Don Green, I don't know if you know who Don Green is. Pastor's up there in Michigan. Don Green is older than Noah. And he's been pastoring up there almost 60 years in the same place. His pastor was J. Frank Norris. I don't know if you know who that name is, but he was one of the key pillars of Baptist fundamentalism. And he was a fireball. Now, Don Green, man, he's a leather-lunged, old-time, fire-breathing Baptist preacher. And I used to think I was a fundamentalist until I heard him preach. And then, good night. Now I'm against Hershey bars and everything else in the whole wide world. But Don Green said this. He's talking about the devil. He said, I want to teach you something about the devil. And he said, this is what you need to know about the devil and nothing else. The devil's a liar, and that's all he is. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar and a father of it. And when he speaks, he's lying. He's trying to lie to you and to your loved ones. So don't listen to him. Don't listen to the negativity of this life. It's coming from hell itself. The devil's giving it to you. I know what the devil has said to you in your Christian life. But by the power of God and being unstoppable, you're going to get past it. The devil said to you that you can't make it as a Christian. You'll never make it. It's too hard. It's too tough. And you get tempted too easily. You'll never make it. But by the power of God and being unstoppable, here you are. By the power of God and being unstoppable, you are where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do. And the Bible says that you can stand up and say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And you can say, that's me. I believe, and I've got the power of God on my life. The devil said you'll never make it in Bible college, but by the power of God and being unstoppable, here you are today. You may be like Gideon. You may be faint, yet you're still pursuing. You're still trying to get that elusive degree. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Don't give up, don't turn back. The devil's told some of you that you can't memorize Scripture. You're just too dumb. You can't memorize it because it's too hard. That you can't win souls because you're too shy. That you can't live the separated life because you're too weak. You can't learn to study because you don't know how. He tells you can't make it to class on time because you're too lazy and you can't change. He'll tell you that you can't. But by the power of God and being unstoppable, you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. All that the devil is saying is nothing but one lie after another. By the power of God and being unstoppable, you can stand up and say, having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day. Listen, you don't have to worry about tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. All you have to do is take care of today. You can't take care of yesterday. It's sealed. It's done. You can't do anything about it. Today, you can be a winner. Today, you can be on fire for God. Today, you can live for Christ. And the nice thing is, it's always today. You don't get tomorrow until today's over. And then it's today again, only tomorrow. Hey, I want you to do something. I want you to quit listening to the devil. He's a liar. If you want to succeed, go talk to some of the Bible heroes and get a hold of them. Get your Bible out and look in your Bible and talk to some of the great men and women of the Bible and see how they did it. Go talk to one of the greatest champions in the whole Bible. Go talk to Samson. Man, what a glorious, godly, wonderful man that he was. He had the great power of God all over him and was doing great things for God. He was one of the most wonderful guys in the Bible. But one of you smart guys here, one of you smart ladies been studying your Bible, going to say, wait, preacher, now wait a minute. Samson's not doing so good. He's maybe chosen, but he's not doing what he should be. Now, I don't want to hear that. No, don't tell me that, because I'm not going to listen to that. He's the promised child. This is the child that God gave to this barren woman, and he's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to do great and mighty things, and he's going to deliver his people. You say, preacher, look at your Bible. He's not delivering anybody. He's grinding corn like a donkey. No, I don't want to hear that. People are like that. We just don't want to hear things that we don't like. Don't try to gloss over it, preacher. It's the truth. Look at what the Bible says. Okay. I'll look at what the Bible says. You take your Bible and look with me, would you? We're going to look over here in chapter 16. Go over just a little bit. Go down here to verse 21. But the Philistines took him, Samson, and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. No, this can't be so. This can't be true. This can't really be happening to this champion of God, this one who has prophesied before he is born, this one who God said, I'm going to call him to the life of a Nazarite. This can't be happening to him. I dare say you know people that this has happened to. They had the blessing of the power of God on their life, but something happened, and now they might as well be grinding grain behind a donkey in some prison house because their sin caught up to them. You say, well, what happened to this man with the power of God who is unstoppable? What happened to this guy who could pick up the gates of the city and trot them off several miles away? What happened to him? It's the same thing that's going to happen to you. And I'll tell you what it is. The thing that will stop you is the same thing that will stop every Christian. It will stop me. It will stop everyone. We all have it, no matter what the Calvinists say. You study the book of Samson, and it puts it into the Calvinists saying, you don't have the choice. You're going to do what God wants you to do, and all this other trash they have. Samson was called of God, chosen before his birth to do great things, but he failed miserably. You look at his life, and you talk to his dad, and his dad just hangs his head. You mention Samson to his mom, and she starts dabbing her eyes because she's crying. Her boy, her only boy, went bad. Daddy had to go clean his body up from the wreckage he left behind. He had to dig him out from where the Philistines had him and the building collapsed on him. So what was Samson's problem? Not the problem of losing his hair. That wasn't it. Not the problem of losing his eyes or his honor. All that's gone. It's good for nothing now. It's behind him. It's never going to be again. So what was Samson's problem? He failed as a Nazarite. He failed in honor of his parents. He failed in life and everything that was meaningful. So where did he fail? Well, back up to chapter 14. Let's look at something. Down here in chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards. Now remember, God has told her, Mama, she can't have anything in the vine. And he's going to be a Nazarite, and the Nazarites can't have anything in the vine. And they came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Not against them, but against him. Why are you saying? Well, I'll get to it here in just a second, but pay attention. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hands, and he told not his father or his mother what he had done. He is alone in the vineyard. Why? There's something in the vineyard he wanted. What was it? Something that was forbidden. Get him a handful of grapes. Maybe some raisins. Just having a good time. And then he kills this lion. But what I'm interested in is what it says right here. He says, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. In most of our lives, our mom and our dad are the best friends we'll ever have. Not always, understand that. But most of the time, they are the best friends you'll ever have. And you need to be able to talk to your mom and dad. And you need to be able to tell them what's going on in your life. But Samson decided, I'm not going to tell them. Samson developed a secret life. He started living the life of a deceiver. Mom and dad thought he was a Nazarite. But he wasn't. He's working on becoming a drunkard. He's becoming a hypocrite. He's becoming everything he shouldn't be. God says in Malachi 1:14, but cursed be the deceiver. In Judges chapter 16, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind the prison house. And now this once great and separate strong man, he's grinding in a prison house of sin and shame. His life is wasted. It's over and will never be what he could have been because he had started something. He didn't know where it was going to end. He started having secrets and keeping things from mom and dad and living this secret life over here to the side. He was smarter than mom. He's smarter than dad. He was going to be able to do what he wanted. Look, I can do this. And I still have the power of God on my life. He hasn't left me. But he started down a path where God was going to leave him high and dry, and God did. We can submit to God and live the blessed life, although sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's challenging when we surrender, but we can live that life and have the blessing of God in our life. The last part of Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, provides us an early view of Samson during coming shame in his ruined life. It was deceit. Deceit was in his heart, and he nurtured it by playing his little games with people that loved him most. He never dreamed that it would destroy him. This is just fun. Nobody needs to know this. I can do this. I can live in secret. It's okay. Nobody cares. It's just between me and nobody else. God says that we don't live unto ourselves and we don't die unto ourselves. There's a whole bunch of people watching you. There's a whole bunch of people that are depending on you. There's some folks that you know that probably are not even saved. Maybe they're family members or friends or loved ones, but they're watching you. You're in the Christian school. You're in the Bible college, and God's got his hand on you, and they're watching you because you've got something that you claim is different than what they have. And if you take what you have in this place and you waste it, they're watching. They're going to say, well, it didn't work for them. It won't work for me, and you did not deliver that soul. When I was in high school, I got saved when I was 16. Before I was 16, I'd done every stupid thing there was to do. And by the time I got into high school, I had a little bit of not the best reputation in the town. And I got saved. I got born again saved, 16 years old. I trusted Christ my Savior. My life is changing. And I'd already kind of made a name in the high school where I was going. And my life started changing. It changed so much, the vice principal became my friend. The vice principal was not my friend. You know, I'd go to school. I don't know what it's like here. Do you have homeroom here where you go to your first period, you go into a homeroom, and they give you all the announcements and stuff? Well, that's what we had. It wasn't a class, just your homeroom. This is where the M's met. And I'm a Murdoch, and I was in the M class. And then they'd have all the announcements going on for the school, and then they said, well, the following people, please report to the office. I just closed my books, got up, and started walking that way before they ever said anything, because I knew they're going to be calling my name, and I knew the principal. We're on first name terms, you know. But I got saved, and my life changed. And one day I was doing something I probably shouldn't have been doing, and it wasn't a bad thing or anything, and I'll tell you what I was doing. I was climbing the flagpole, and I was going to sign the name at the very top on the ball, and that's exactly what I did. And I went up there with a magic marker, and I'm hanging on the flagpole, going back and forth, and I was writing my name on there, and he opened the window of his, this is an old building, he opened his window and said, Murdoch! Yeah? He said, get down. Okay. And that was the end of it. Now, it would have been, Murdoch, get down, come into my office, you're going to have a 3-day vacation. But now then, something's happened, and now then, my life is different, and people are watching, and they're paying attention. This is exciting. I'm making progress here in life. Now, let me tell you something. Samson never dreamed what he's doing is going to destroy him. Are you guilty of this sin? Got secrets? Things that you do in the privacy of your own room or when you're out alone? If other people knew, they would be aghast. Secrets. Do you purposely hide things from those who love you? I got it in here from your wife, but probably not too many of you are married. I can see why. The truth is, some of the finest young people in the world are right here in this room. 99.9% of you are just outstanding. But I imagine more than 50% maybe of you have secrets that you think is going to be okay. But they're not. Because you've become a deceiver. And cursed is the deceiver. Who curses you? You've cursed yourself. You're playing a game. And it's not going to work out well for you. Do you have secrets you keep from your mom, from your dad, from your family, from your Sunday school teacher, from your pastor, from your youth pastor, from your teachers at school, from your dorm supervisor? Man, the dorm supervisor finds out about this, I'm toast. Deceiver. Do you engage in a secret life known only to you? Internet activity. How many of you have a smartphone? Okay. How many of you have internet on your smartphone? Now don't raise your hand on this. How many of you are going to let me look at your smartphone and check your history? I'm not going to do it. God already has. He knows. And he's come to town. He's taken names. So, we look at Samson. I mean, good night. Every little boy, he hears the story of Samson. He thinks of Samson being some super big macho guy with muscles all over him like me. But he's not. He's just a little guy. He's just a normal guy, like Colton. But then the power of God comes on him, and man, he is unstoppable. Everybody wants to be Superman. Oh, every guy wants to be Superman. But Colton, no. But Samson stopped himself with his secret life. Today, my life is occupied a lot of times with young people who have secrets. Not good secrets, like we're going to have a surprise birthday party, but secrets like if I tell somebody I'm going to get hurt, or if I tell somebody I'm going to be in trouble, or if I tell somebody I've been told that nobody will love me again, or if I tell somebody they've threatened to kill me, literally. We have a children's home. Actually, we call it a boarding school, and actually had two boarding schools, one for girls and one for boys. I had to close the boarding school for the girls because can't find any counselors for it. But the boarding school of the boys is going full tilt, and I can tell stories about the girls because they're not there anymore. And it's really fun to tell stories about the girls sometimes. We had one girl, we called her Little Miss Running Shoes. And she got there, and Mom and Dad just said, come on, honey, we're going to go for a ride. And they ended up in Union, Mississippi, and dropped her off at the home, and she didn't want to be at the home, and so she just marched herself out of there and started going down the road. Union, Mississippi, where our home is down there, our school is, it's on the backside of nowhere. I mean, you got to look really hard to find it, but you can find it. And you start down the road, and you're going to go probably 13 miles before you get into Philadelphia, Mississippi, which has a Walmart, glory to God. Amen. But there's nothing there but woods and bears and snakes and all those sorts of other stuff. So she's just marching down the road, and I get a call from the director. I said, what you doing? He says, well, I'm following a girl running away. I said, how fast are you going? He says, about 3 miles an hour. And I said, so what are you going to do, run over? Nope, waiting on the sheriff. And so the sheriff comes, and he says, oh, this is good, preacher. She's got her head bobble going on. The preacher or the cop's telling her, you're going to do what? And she's bobbing her head back and forth. And now he's getting down close to her face and talking to her. And he's pointing to the back seat of his car. Okay, everything's good, preacher. She's coming back. She's getting in the van. We're going back to the house. We call her Little Miss Running Shoes. She thought she was going to run the place and take over. And no. But she had issues. She had problems. These kids come to us, and they got all kinds of problems. Some of them are more horrible than others. We had one little old girl come in there. When I met her, I looked at her, and we talked for a little bit, and I said, I'm going to have to think you over. She had a spirit about her that it wasn't good. She was demonic. There's all there was to it. She wasn't saved. She had a demon in her. Finally, she got saved, and things started changing, but we got her involved in biblical counseling and training her and teaching her some things, and actually we're probing deep into their heart to get them to tell the truth. Just tell me the truth. If you tell me the truth, I can deal with it. I can help you. We'll get through this thing. You'll get better real fast. So just tell the truth. Well, finally, I got a phone call. Hey, we're making progress. Things are starting to open up. I said, keep it up. Keep it up. Give me a call. Well, she ended up, the story came out. Why she's so mean, why she's so hateful, why all this stuff's going on. Ended up being her stepdad was the problem, and you can put the pieces together for yourself. We've turned everything over to the authorities, and before it was all said and done, stepdad had jumped ship, and he ran not across state lines, but he got clear out of the country, gone. That little girl, boy, she had problems, and then she came in, she's going to run the school, she's going to run everything, she's going to be in charge, and we're working with her, helping her, trying to make a difference in her life, and she wouldn't tell the truth, and finally we got her to tell the truth, and boy, it all came out, and it was so sore and so ugly and so nasty. But with both of these kids, if they had told the truth to begin with when they were first bothered, none of this would have happened. You have a secret. Your secret's going to destroy you. Samson was a Nazarite, and he had a sacred calling. He's not allowed to approach anything to dead, not even that dead lion that had the honeycomb inside. Couldn't go through it, but he did anyhow. Young people often subjected to sudden temptations, generally in two ways. When they're alone and in secret, you're tempted. And you fail and you get into your secret, or else when you're with the wrong crowd. There's a wrong crowd even in this place, and you know who they are. So what do? We shoot them? Paintballs maybe, but no. What do we do with them? Ye that are spiritual, go to such a one, restore him in the faith. And if you know something's going on, you go talk to the dorm supervisor. Yeah, I'm not going to be a snitch. There's nothing snitchy about it. It's something about the holiness. Bible says, cry aloud and spare not to the preacher. I'm a preacher and I'm not going to be a snitch, so I'm not going to talk about your sinfulness. I'd have to change from being a Baptist to being an Episcopalian or something like that. Being in a Christian college, even one as fine as this and as wonderful as this, you may have come in here and you've got secrets going on. But let me tell you something. This is the whole crux of everything. If you've got the secrets going on, you've become a deceiver and you have cursed your own self. And what you need to do is find somebody that you trust, somebody that, I don't mean your roommate, I mean somebody with authority, the dorm supervisor or the pastor, youth pastor, whoever. But you need to talk to somebody and say, look, we need to have a conversation. And you need to tell the truth. Otherwise, this thing will ruin you. And this day today, you'll look back at this and say, this is one of the greatest days of my entire life. And I made a choice. And I chose not to continue having good days. Because the day's going to come when all your chickens will come home to roost. Now, Father in heaven, I thank you for these young people. I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and minds and lives. And I pray, God, you'd please bless this group of folks. I pray, Father, that you'd help them. Don't let them be a Samson. Don't let them wither on the vine and die because of their secret life. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help them. I pray, Father, that you'd help them, first of all, to be honest with you right now. There's some in this room right now, they're thinking about that secret thing that they've got going on. And they know it's wrong, and they know it's going to come back and bite them because I've just told them about it. And Lord, you've reinforced it with your word. You said, cursed be the deceiver. And Father, I pray that you'd help them today. Let them get that. This is the secret life. This is sin like stealing a car is sin. It's sin like adultery is sin. It's sin like murder is a sin. They are killing their opportunities for a great and wonderful future. And I pray, God, you'd please, please help them to be honest right now in this time. And I pray that you'd give them deliverance and strength and courage.